Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Yeah. Little words of the wise out there. If you're not hip to the Church Drunk vibe by this point, be careful, because tread lightly if you're not into potty language, dirty jokes, heresy.
General inappropriate behavior.
You know, we call it the spice of life. Some people call it, you know, like sending us straight to hell, but it's all the same difference.
Yeah, you've been warned.
Yeah, you have been warned. We are Catholic. You don't have to be. We're excited that you're here. This is episode 30 for Church Drunk.
Woo-hoo!
Kind of a bonus that we're tacking on somewhere in between the end of season 2 and the official start of season 3. It is Valentine's Day. It is Ash Wednesday, the day after Mardi Gras. We're at this weird intersection of celebrations.
Easter will be on April Fool's.
Right.
So welcome to 2018.
Yeah. Psych. Just kidding. So it really all boils down to the one important question, which is, Diz, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a French 75, but I want to call it a French 45 because I'm looking at the 40 days of Lent.
Okay.
The horrificness that is associated with the number 45 in general,
right,
but the solace that is brought by this cocktail.
Okay.
So it's a little different because it's champagne and gin.
Yes.
And instead of
lemon juice,
we have a Calamansi cooler from everybody's favorite unnamed specialty brand grocery store.
And you really can't say Calamansi cooler without some sort of weird accent.
I can't. I was calling it Calamansi cooler.
Calamansi cooler.
I mean, it's a funny word, but it tastes like an orange peel.
So it's a classic champagne cocktail on account of the Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I feel like champagne's appropriate.
To all the lovers out there.
But we added a little specialness. We have some Creole bitters.
Oh, we did.
Which
That's
is perfect
right.
because Creole,
Mardi Gras,
bitters, Ash Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
Ah.
Just leave it to guests. Okay, now cheers. All right.
There we go.
To bring it full liturgical circle for everybody's drinking pleasure. So pour yourself something delicious and alcoholic or not, whatever.
Make yourself a Calamansi cooler. It's kind of a bonus episode, maybe a quick hitter, who knows?
Yeah.
It may get away from us, but we are talking about this strange confluence of events of all of these different celebrations. We had the idea to do a bonus episode about Mardi Gras, but really it was kind of like light speed from the end, the official end of season 2, quote unquote, as official as it gets on Church Drunk.
Right. Well, if you can call any of this season's episodes.
Right. It was like warp speed to Lent.
Yeah,
and
I was like, I felt like that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Like, here we are.
Yeah.
I was just reminiscing about the three kings and little kids' heads and Santa's sacks.
Totally. Yeah.
And
who knew? St. Nicholas. What a weirdo.
It's really disturbing. That image just stuck with me, if you couldn't tell. But yeah, now here we are in Lent. And I actually feel like I like Lent more right now.
Yes.
And it's the first day, granted, of course.
I know. I was thinking
I
about
that. I typically do. I was looking kind of forward to it.
I was like, right now, my life is so chaotic that I'm excited for the structure and the discipline that comes with Lent. And then
exactly.
I was like, but you know what? Fast forward like a month and I'm still going to be bitching and moaning about it.
I know. I had very similar thoughts. So I'm ready for it. And I know from past year's histories how quickly I am lamenting the length of the 40 days.
Yeah. But today, for Ash Wednesday.
Sure, like me some repentance today.
It's, you know what? It is. It's good. It slows you down. Like the ashes. I have years where I think that the ashes are just kind of the most ridiculous thing in the world, you know, and I think we talked a little bit about that last year. Also, like 1 year anniversary of Church Drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, we were talking about this little enterprise and why we wanted to do it and just being kind of silly. And now we're really needing some Lent and happy to get to journal it this way.
Because I remember last year talking about like Ash Wednesday being sort of this ridiculous, like everybody wears the ashes and it's supposed to be something about like repenting quietly, but wear this
ironic
big marker.
Yes.
But this year I needed it. I was like, man, this.
You needed the actual ashes?
The actual symbols of Lent. Like I drive past a big, it's a Christian church that keeps a big cross out in the field by their church building, and they drape it with purple every Lent. And driving by it today and seeing it draped with the purple cloth and getting the ashes, I was like, wait, these are symbols that I'm familiar with that tell me that like it's time to kind of get things back in order. So there was
that's why we have symbols, right?
There was some really good stuff today.
I'm glad you like them. I mean, I'm still not at the point where ashes themselves Like, I just always kind of feel like, oh, my forehead's dirty.
More often than not, I chuckle. Yeah. Like, I don't, but.
I like the idea of it. I always do feel like the irony with the gospel message, like you said, of like, do your sacrificing in private. By the way, I went to church today, everyone.
Right. Yeah. It's a weird day.
It's a kind of odd, but I love Lent.
Yes.
And I'm embracing my love of Lent. I always think I like Advent more.
Yeah.
And then I don't.
Right. I know. So. I know. We want to be waiting in joyful anticipation,
but realistically,
we're like self-flagellating. And yeah.
Does this sound like fun? Everybody ready to go?
Hooray, Lent!
Of course, we're like drinking champagne.
French 75 always helps with Lent.
It's official word from guests, everyone.
Calamansi. If you want to do Lent right, you gotta get yourself a calamansi.
Wow, I don't even know where we are right now.
Well, let's back it up a little. Okay. We went straight into our love of Lent, and we'll come back to that before we wrap things up here.
Couldn't help it.
Before we get into Lenten practices and things like that, we did want to touch a little bit on Mardi Gras practices. Like, there's this whole carnival season, and there's this big buildup, and it really does last for like weeks because Mardi Gras has become like such a big celebration in certain parts of the world.
It's supposed to be like its own little unofficial season, right? So it's like from Epiphany to what we call Mardi Gras, the day, like the end of it. And I feel like if you are not in New Orleans or somewhere near there, you get gypped. Well, actually other places too do have a longer carnival season.
Right, carnival, yeah, big time Brazil and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we get a little bit gypped out of that because we have just one day. But really it could be a whole season. There's parades.
Yeah, well, and you talked about like costumes. Finding things online where it's like king cake season. So it's time to get like your king cake mix and stuff like that.
Right.
Like the king cake thing is kind of interesting because correct me if I'm wrong, you know more about this than I do, is the king cake where you get the little baby in it? And that has always creeped me out.
It is pretty creepy. I will give you that because it's actually like a little baby.
Yeah, you put a baby inside of a cake.
And it's like, why do we keep having, like, sidebar, making so many little plastic babies for various reasons?
Right.
It's gross.
If anything, it should be a wooden baby so it's a more sustainable practice.
But then it's like dirtier because it's wood's porous in your food.
Dirtier than plastic?
I don't know. Probably not.
But
either way, like, what if you swallowed it or, like, bit
it?
I don't know.
I feel like,
I've only done it a couple times, and I'm terrified. You'll find it because you're looking for it. But yeah, so if you find the baby, then you get to be like the king or the queen of the day. And everybody is supposed to do whatever you want.
Or you choke to death.
Right. If you survive the eating of the king cake and the king cake baby Jesus.
Now, there is also this, like in the New Orleans area, there is like, I don't know if it's a king cake brand or, but there is a gigantic baby that is like the mascot and stuff. Like some of the New Orleans sports teams and stuff, they'll bring out like the king cake baby as their mascot, and it's like this Jimungo baby Huey like diaper with a crown that's like,
bah-yah. I'm glad I don't watch
at least
sports.
That's the soundtrack that plays when I see this thing.
Like, I wanted to ask, are there actual sound effects? Or really is like guest provided
that this baby walks around the arena going, bah-yah.
Oh gross.
But that's the sound that it makes in my head.
Okay.
And it's just kind of very scary.
You know, I've never liked dolls to begin with, and so I actually am also not that comfortable with the babies, and didn't need to know about the sports.
Yeah,
baby,
giant king cake baby thing. Is
I mean,
weird
king
to me.
Cake itself is delicious. It's like the colored frosting on top. Okay, but you could even just have like cinnamon rolls.
Or like
the cheap ass version of king cake where you're like, I bought this roll of cinnamon rolls.
You like stick a plastic baby right in the middle of it.
Pillsbury Doughboy like, could be like your king cake baby.
Oh, the king baby. Oh, man.
Oh.
I wish I had like a little sound button on that. I wish we were technologically advanced enough that we could play the baby sound whenever we wanted to. Now I have to make it every time.
I don't share that desire in the least.
But it is. It's a big thing. It's a big celebration. It's a cultural hallmark in a lot of places. And people go nuts for Mardi Gras. I do question every year how many people that are really going nuts for Mardi Gras, which I fully support. Like, get out there and go crazy for Mardi Gras.
Sure.
How many of them are going nuts because they're going to scale it back for the next 40 days?
Yeah,
you know?
I think they missed the whole... Well, but even that is kind of a weird practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, I can't be deprived during Lent, so I've got to, like... you know, gorge myself right before.
Eat all the cake.
My fast
and drink all the hurricanes and flash my boobs everywhere possible.
Oh my gosh.
Just so that I can stop doing all those things for the next 40 days.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of an odd.
Which means that Easter, everybody would just walk around topless. Like you know, I've given up flashing.
You really thought this through.
Well.
Okay.
I mean,
I do like the idea of like we feast and then we fast and then we feast. We have like some balance.
Right.
I don't know if I want to examine it much more closely than that because I think the logic doesn't probably hold up so
Have you ever done the Mardi Gras pancake feast?
No.
So that's like a thing that people do where they'll eat all, like they'll empty out their fridge and have people over and they...
Okay.
Yeah, no, like I've never done it either, but I think it was in that Mercy in the City book.
Where you do eat all your stuff.
Yeah, like you kind of, you use it as an opportunity to like get rid of any like excess foods.
Right, so that you don't have the temptation there.
Right, and to kind of like go along with it, you'll make like pancakes and you make just like dozens and dozens of pancakes and you have like a pancake feast.
Forgot that bit, but yeah. That sounds nice.
Never done it, but it's another thing that people do to sort of celebrate Mardi Gras if you're not going to be on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, and you know when you were saying like all these people who celebrate it but aren't really going to like give up stuff during Lent or maybe aren't even Catholic, but like that's very Catholic Church, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Here's, let us be as culturally embedded as possible.
Right.
And we'll get a few of you.
Yeah. So there's different ways to celebrate Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Ash Wednesday, which there's really only one way to celebrate it.
You
just kind
of ashes
and you don't eat things and you just kind of want.
Do we want to talk about the fasting? Like you had mentioned the rule about like two small meals that do not equal one larger meal.
You're going to drop the Catholic pickup line?
No.
Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday.
Do you even know who that picture was?
Yeah, that was, what's his face? The guy from the movies and the stuff.
Mm-hmm. That was Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Everybody loves
go.
To look at because the Notebook.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, the Notebook.
I know.
He's
I just
been
want,
in lots of stuff.
Do you guys hear this? This nonsense of guesses. Everybody loves the Notebook.
No.
It's beautiful.
Not
we
everybody
all cry.
Loves the Notebook.
Gotta have a feeling once in a while,
just
guess.
A hot pile of garbage. what was the one that he was in about? Like the driver, though. That was a good one. Where he wore that scorpion jacket. Yeah.
I digress.
We've really started to mumble about something that we didn't really reference.
Anyway,
didn't
so
build a context
Ryan Gosling,
around.
So guest sends me a Ryan Gosling, like, meme for Lent, which is like, hey, would you like to go out for dinner or a meal that
two small meals that don't equal one large
can't
meal
even pull it
for
off.
Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was actually from, like, the Facebook or Twitter, I guess, of a priest who was getting questions, like, what do we do? Like, if we're Catholic and we're, you know, like on the dating scene.
Oh, no, Valentine's.
It's Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. Like, what am I supposed to do? And so he just kind of started, like, giving little, like, tips to be like, you know, like, it really shouldn't be that big of a deal, you know, like, if it's something that's important to you. But he seemed like he was pretty grounded about it.
He was trying to be cool about it. But honestly, like, I would have supported him being like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, number one, nobody wants to go out with you on Valentine's Day if you just met on a dating app. Like, you're the worst. Like, I think anybody cool is like, so I'd love to hang out with you maybe the 15th.
Maybe the 15th, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or the whatever Friday is. Like, be cool. Like, that's awful.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're a practicing person, Ash Wednesday totally trumps Valentine's Day. We don't even know if Valentine was a real dude. Like, I feel like St. Valentine is like a very thin wisp of a saint.
He may be even creepier than St. Nicholas when you really get down to it.
There was some guy in the Roman Empire named Valentine who died. Sure.
Yes. Well, and the legend of like giving Valentines comes from.
I think that's a little shoddy too, though.
Well, it's the legend of the idea was that he was passing notes between lovers that had been imprisoned for being Christians when there was a Christian persecution. He was marrying people in secret in the woods.
I did not know you had this
it's very
deep
brave
knowledge
heart.
Of Saint Valentine.
How do you not? When we work with the youth of the church,
I don't know,
how do you not
about?
Pass these stories on, all right?
Because I'm like, repent and believe the gospel and like smushing it in their foreheads.
And I'm like, if you're ever in jail, I will be your St. Valentine and I'll marry you in the woods.
That's so fucking creepy.
Right? It gets worse when you start actually talking about it.
I'll be your St. Valentine.
I'll just need to put down my St. Nicholas heads so that I can perform this marriage ceremony in the woods.
Set my sack of heads up. Oh my God. let's promise all of our listeners right now, Cass, that you were never going to say to a minor, I'll marry you while you're in prison or, like, ferret your letters.
Wait, I'm allowed to say that to a major?
I said, okay. Yeah. All right. All
never
right.
Going to say no it to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, so it is, but it does highlight, right, if you are a very devout Catholic and your job is to enter the baby-making matrix, you know, and you're looking for somebody to spend your life with and you're like, you know, cheesy, sappy, let's go out on Valentine's Day.
You are pulling at so many straws here.
Dude, you know those people are out there.
Dude, if you're a practicing Catholic, obviously Ash Wednesday trumps St. Valentine's Day.
No, not necessarily. Okay. Because the purpose of Catholicism, according to Mother Church,
oh my gosh,
is to make more Catholics.
First date.
But how are you going to launch your way into making more Catholics if you just ruin Valentine's
Day? So you're taking the long view.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
I can
see that. Well, obviously the solution is you go and get your ashes together and then you go out for a small soupy dinner.
A small soupy dinner. I love it.
It's really gross.
Yeah. Would you like to have two small meals that don't quite equal one meal? Or just you want to go slurp some soup with me on Valentine's Day?
Gross. I mean, I was only mentioning that because to me, I immediately thought of church drunk and our booziness and how we're drinking. And I thought we should actually be doing shots.
Oh.
Instead of a large drink.
Valentine's.
Like two small shooters that do not equal one large cocktail would be the proper way to observe our religious tradition.
We have
we're Catholic and you should probably just drink a lot.
Half serving of gin and about a half serving of champagne in our glasses.
That is true.
So,
and like you said, the bitters.
And the bitters.
To remind us that we are dust.
Yeah, and to dust we shall return.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of reminding ourselves that we are dusty ashes.
Yes. We are dusty, ash holes.
Mm-hmm.
Circling back around to Ash Wednesday, which kicks off Lent, which also kicks off our fourth season of our second year of Church Drunk.
Yeah, a little project's gone on
here. We
got
to think about what we're going to be doing for Ash Wednesday, and we also have to think about what our content is for the coming season. And I think we should probably revisit some of our highlights from
looking
back. I mean, I think
that's a loose term there.
Certainly, Drunk Lives of the Saints has been a roaring success.
I knew that this would come up as a favorite for you.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
A least favorite for me.
Oh, come on.
I just think when I think about
severed heads and cow teats, how do you not?
I'm
that's
right.
Like,
okay, I'll give you Saint Nick was not bad.
Someday when
Ignatius
we write
was fine.
A church drunk book.
Oh my god.
The title will be
so
Severed Heads and Cow Teats. Like it's just
so
be
many
perfect.
Teats.
So many teats. But I think there may be a Drunk Lives of the Saint in Drunk Lives of the Saints in the future. I think there may be I would like to see more Church Drunk ad libs. I thought that one was fun.
You're pretty good
at
ad libs.
Mad libs, yeah.
I would be happy to continue the Environ Lent. I was actually like Environ Lent update. I was pretty proud of that segment there.
Yeah.
There may or may not be Pope Hope. We might have to be going like Pope.
We're getting lately. We may have to do Pope Hope versus Pope Nope. Mm-hmm. But there's been a couple of good Pope Hopey things, like small things, little minor things. He hasn't been really rocking too many
boats. There's been some bad stuff in the headlines. So, I mean, I think we're going to continue talking real.
At least
we'll say that.
Certainly. I like it. Pope Hope. Or is it a Pope Nope week?
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's definitely something that we are interested in continuing. So if you guys do have favorite Church Drunk segments, things that you would like to come back to, or suggestions for new stuff that you'd like to hear, it's our second year of Church Drunk. So
here.
Let us know what you like. Let us know what you never want to hear again.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know any new stuff that you would like to hear on Church Drunk.
Yeah, so, that would be great.
Before we officially jump into Lent, though, we have one final Church Drunk tradition.
Yeah, I mean, so traditionally people should give up something in Lent. You know, fasting is one of these practices that we do to help us curb our desires and like increase our spiritual nature and expertise.
And also you can add things in, right?
Right. So fasting or you know, prayer so adding something right. and giving sometimes people to the try community. And
give up a certain type of food and the money that they mm-hmm. would spend on that food they yeah. give to, you know, certain organizations, things like that. So
yeah, it's pretty open-ended really how you view it. And right. it's all good.
Yeah.
It's good practices. So
I think for me, one of my practices this year that I want to do, I used to have a formula and I never really was that great at following it. I think I want to try and follow it during Lent. 10 minutes a day, 1 hour a week. And then it would be one day a month. So maybe just one day, like one whole day in Lent. But like 10 minutes a day, 1 hour a week, and one day a month that are set aside for doing things that are sort of spiritually fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You know, something that would give me just a quick daily practice.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally meditation, you know, longer than 10 minutes, but 10 minutes minimum.
Okay.
And maybe an hour a week of something that I could really just kind of dig into it. Spiritual yeah. reading, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that category too. Like if you remember when we talked about New Year's resolutions,
yeah.
that kind of thing, I said I wanted to read like more real things, like actual books of substance was my goal. And
right.
I'm doing it in Lent. You had suggested, and I haven't read it, the Desert Fathers books from Gowan.
Yeah.
Which is The Way of the Heart?
The Way of the Heart.
Yeah. yeah. So that's going to be my spiritual read.
Lovely.
And I'm trying to do it on the regular and not just buzz through it because I do go fast. So I'm going to try to break it up and be mindful in my spiritual reading and reflecting.
Excellent. Yeah, maybe we could feature it on one of our Church Drunk Lit Nerds episodes for Lent.
I do love the literary.
We nerded out hardcore last Lent on our literature, so we can maybe get back to that too. Yeah,
I think we probably have to.
Yeah.
All right. So those are our like, guys, that was the real spiritual nice side of Guest and of Dizzy.
Getting real.
And now here's the dark side of our Lent where we take joy when we should be ashing and taking things away from each other.
Yeah. So following, once again, the cues of Jim Martin.
It's a great idea.
Who has people, has a friend of his assign him things to give up for Lent. We have three things each on the no-fly list that are untakeawayable.
Yep.
But we've given it great consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going first here? Are you going to tell me what's mine or am I going to tell you what's yours?
I'm ready when you are. All right. Is it like quick draw?
God, yeah, we should say it at the same time. No, okay. I think...
Lay it on me. Just
for Lent this year.
Okay, we should say last year...
Last year, I accidentally hit you right in the field zone.
No, but it was really good because it was... He took away avocado from me, which doesn't sound that bad until I realized that's like what I eat for breakfast half the time. So mornings were hard and sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everything else that avocado's on. It turns out a lot of things. We do live in an avocado place.
Yes, this is true.
So, but I got you kind of bad back.
Yeah, no citrus was rough.
It had a lot of categories. It's
broad spectrum. And it affected like the flavoring in some things that I like to eat or drink, you know, stuff like that.
Unfortunately, you did not get scurvy, which was my secondary goal.
I know.
Did honor it.
Yeah. And this year, I thought I had one all worked out.
Uh-huh.
I was going to take away non-alcoholic fizzy beverages, mm-hmm. your beloved cold pops.
Do love a cold pop.
But that ended up on your no-fly list.
Yeah, no. And it came on the no-fly list right at the last second. Yeah. Like, it just came to me because you were probably thinking about it.
I probably was. Yeah. You were picking up my
brainwaves.
And I was
like, nope. Nope.
I was like, cold pop.
Yeah. So what was on your no-fly? You said hot sauce.
My no-fly is hot sauce and granola bars because that's literally – granola bars is breakfast and lunch for me. Right. If I lose granola bars, I'm fasting until I get home from work every day.
I wouldn't be that mean.
And cheese.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Cheese is in a lot of stuff, and it would be rough for me to give it up. So those are my no-flies. So what am I assigned?
Well, this year – guess I was thinking about it and I'm like, I'm not, you know, citrus is good because it affected your booze and also your food.
True.
But this is just one that you eat a lot more of than I do. And it's something I kind of associate with you and Mrs. Guest. So there's like this benefit because she'll probably be eating it and you won't be able to.
Okay.
There will be no russets, no goldens, no purple potatoes, no little red ones at all, no french fries, no baked potatoes, no mashed potatoes.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to order a salad.
When St. Patrick's Day comes on a Saturday, you will not have potatoes.
I'm cheating. That's one of those. It does not count that it's cheating because I'm already planning to violate it on that day.
We'll just all know that once again, yes, if you plan on cheating, it's still cheating.
No, it's not. If you know you're going to cheat, it doesn't count.
Such a lie.
St. Patrick's Day, here I come.
Okay, wait, now are you going to change mine and make it worse?
No, I'm sticking with it.
I mean, most vodka is not made from potatoes anymore, and you don't even drink vodka.
I didn't even think about so the it vodka.
Doesn't even touch your booze. You don't even drink vodka. Most vodka is made of, like, corn or something now.
You don't know me at all. I drink everything.
Dude, I didn't take away rye from you. We're like, I know. You know, what is whiskey made of? I don't even know.
Rye. Well, there's rye.
I get it anyway. But go ahead. Hit me back. What am I getting?
Wow. I seem like such a freaking saint by comparison.
Oh, no. Come on.
I'm putting you in legion with millions of other Americans and making you allergic to shellfish for Lent. No shrimp.
Rude.
No crab. No oysters.
Harsh.
No mussels. No clams. No anything else. No lobster.
You know what, you asshole? You suggested we have a shrimp cocktail yesterday.
As a last hurrah.
How did I know that would be the last shrimp I would eat? What a dick. You know what?
I could have taken away all fish, but I didn't. Because that would be mean during
shellfish is a lot of fucking fish.
And you know what? Some of your favorite sushi has shellfish in it. I know. You like the tempura.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about the sushi, and I thought about taking sushi away from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, that's a dark place. You know, I do love linguine and clam sauce.
We're officially upset with each other.
Hey, Lent.
The end of Church Drunk.
See you next time. What's it called?
Church Drunk. Voulez bon ton Wednesday.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bye.